Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Let's go to first slide here. Let me show you the title for today's message. We're going to talk today about a new way. Say a new way. From pandemic to promise. Say from pandemic to promise. And I'm not announcing the pandemic is over. Nobody's doing that. But we're saying that by the grace of God, we have found a way through. One word God gave me to describe what's going on is navigating. I've been saying it for months. We're navigating. And if you've understood anything about, I haven't personally, but any kind of ship sailing or so forth, you know navigation is a big thing. And navigating around storms and over rough seas and avoiding other vessels. And so we've been navigating, y'all, the past several months. And I would say victoriously navigating. Say, Lord, thank you. I've been victoriously navigating because of your grace. Amen. All right, a new way. Let's go to our first scripture, John 14, the Gospel of John. John 14, 5 says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wow. Good question. Direct question, direct answer. Lord, where are you going? Christ had talked about going away. And where are you going, Lord? And Jesus' answer was to the question, how can we know the way? People wonder today, how can I get through the circumstances of my life? How can I survive the pressures and the difficulties? I'm just trying to find my way. And people look to other people. They look at their online. They're Googling things and trying to find a way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So first of all, let's establish for us who are Christ followers, he is the way. That is, in what's in him, the wisdom, the grace, the power, the resources, the direction, it's in him. Jesus said, I am the way. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So he's telling us here what to think about, what to have on our minds, because our minds are bombarded with all kind of information. I mean, today more than ever, we have hundreds of channels on the TV. We've got 24/7 news. We've got social media, we got people telling us stuff. It's all kind of information. But whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's virtue and if it's praiseworthy, think on or meditate on these things. Now, I want to lift out this statement. He said, among all these, he said, whatever things are true, say true. Say truth. We're going to focus there today because we have to pay attention to things that are true. Because a lot of things out here are untrue, are false, are lies. And so focus on truth. Now, Joshua 3, our main text for today. Joshua 3, verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there should be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, about a mile, in measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And that was the text, the last part that really got my attention last week. You have not passed this way before. We have not passed this way before. Now, that's true every day, every year, pandemic or no pandemic, but it's more true than ever in light of the past, 13, 14 months. We've not passed this way before. And so that, let me put this word up on the screen, say new normal. We all like a good story. We like stories, good stories, and we like good Bible stories, good movies and books and so forth. And so we have been living a story, y'all. This has been our story, navigating this pandemic and what we've learned and gained and lost through this whole process. And so March 2020 was the beginning of something we've never experienced as a community and the entire world. We've seen nations go through different things and people groups, but the whole world experienced this pandemic. Well, we like a good story. And so this story, with all the difficulty and tragedy, it's a good story in the end, right? Because we're overcoming it, amen? We're overcoming it. And I think about we're all aware of outbreaks of the flu, H1N1, and we're aware of Ebola, which wasn't a pandemic, it was an epidemic. We're aware of swine flu. We've seen these things before, but not on this scale. We've witnessed difficulties and tragedies like the murder of George Floyd and others who were brutalized and killed. We've experienced economic difficulties, the 2008, 2009 collapse. Before our lifetime, there was the Great Depression, Jim Crow era, Civil War. I mean, there's been so much has happened in this nation, in this world. The slave trade and present-day white supremacy. So these things are all going on. But it's the same God who's carried us through. And listen, in all these different situations change us a little bit or a lot. Depends on the nature of it. Well, this pandemic has changed us a lot. I remember the phrase new normal, we threw it out last year about this time, and folks said, no, I'm not going to believe in no new normal. I'm going to get back to normal. We thought we were going to just blow through this thing, and by June, we're back to normal. And normal still hadn't come because there is no more normal. There's been a shift in paradigm, you know. I mean, there are people who didn't have services for a long time, and so people have learned to get online and receive the word online. And so that's a paradigm shift, and some people are going to continue to just be online more than in church services. So these things have happened. We accept it. We embrace it. We make the best use of it. And so that this pandemic, through it, I'll say, God has introduced us to new knowledge, new practices. We become more prayerful. We become better educated, more well-read. And I'll say this, man, we got some of the cleanest hands we've had in generations. You know what I'm saying? Man, wife and I were traveling and went to a place, and the guy was washing his hands like he was a surgeon. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like we got the habit now. That's a good habit. That's a new normal that shouldn't go away, right? Sanitizing. So these are things that make us healthier overall. I mean, we're getting past this COVID, but there's still flu virus and things out there. All these practices help us where all those things are concerned. So we're actually healthier. We're healthier in the end of all this because the new normal is what God has helped us to understand. And we're doing things differently, doing a lot of things better. Now, there were a lot of challenges There's been health challenges, loss of loved ones. Some have died because of COVID. Many have died because of COVID. There have been financial challenges. And we've seen changes in our working environments. You know, my wife finished a whole school year under this navigation through COVID. And so she did well. It's just amazing to see and to really embrace the fact that we are more than we thought we were. Say, I am more than I thought I was. The old dog can learn new tricks. So I love the fact that, you know, God gets glory out of everything. He didn't send it. It wasn't from him. But now that we're in it, God says, you know what? I'll just teach you something while we're up in here together. I'll just show you some things. And most of us have learned those lessons. Some haven't, but many have. So we're living this new normal, new paradigm, and by the grace of God and through the skills we have gained, we have coped, overcome, and thrived. So I have coped, overcome, and thrived. All right, now, our text from Joshua, this story of Israel under the leadership of Joshua, they faced another barrier of water. We know about Moses, right, in the Red Sea. Well, here's another situation with another leader, Joshua, and yet another body of water, this time the River Jordan. I want us to see that even though they were not in a pandemic in a medical sense, they were experiencing a pandemic in the sense of the whole nation was in hardship together, right? So a pandemic is, you know, essentially we know it's some rampant disease or virus, but the pandemic situation is when everyone's affected by the same thing. That's the sense of a pandemic. So Israel in slavery and in bondage, they were together experiencing their own type of pandemic or their hardship. But the thing is, they experienced it together, and together they overcame it. And the key word here is the word together. Say together. Together. That's the key word for us. We've not come through this by ourselves. I mean, could you imagine being, we call this lockdown. I don't know why we call it lockdown. Lockdown is what happens in prison when you have a riot. You can't get out your jail cell. Well, I understand it. I can't. I've been trying to protest against the term lockdown. It won't go away. So during lockdown, imagine if you couldn't make a phone call. You couldn't have someone drive by and wave at you. You know what I mean? Even though we were alone in lots of ways, we were still together. We were listening to messages and watching services online. I mean, in other words, we found a way to stay together even though we couldn't be together. That's one thing God showed us, the power of the fellowship, the power of the covenant. Say covenant. Again, I said it earlier. And together they overcame it, and the key word is together. So I'm going to give you in this message 7 keys and talk about how we have found a new way, and we're moving from pandemic to promise, and how that there are some keys in this text in Joshua chapter 3 I want us to look at and let teach us and speak to us. Now again, throughout this, I'm going to ask God to speak to your heart. We're looking at Israel and what they went through. But I want you to make it personal, looking at your situation with COVID or whatever you've been dealing with during this pandemic. You know, COVID was just one thing. We've all had to live our lives with all the same challenges and the same hopes, I mean, through a pandemic. So let these keys apply. Find application to these keys. Key number one, embrace truth and new ways at every level. Say that. Embrace truth and new ways at every level. Now, we read that text Paul wrote and said, whatever things are true, okay? I want to really emphasize to us the importance of embracing truth. Now, we know that there is transcendent biblical God truth, right? I mean, God says, I'm God, beside me there is no other. That is our truth, right? We are saints, we are people of God, we are born again, old nature is past. Well, that's truth for us. But then there's Paul in Philippians, when he says, whatever things are true, that's everything that's true, right? And so there's other truths. And of course, we know that we see challenges of truth all across the world today, all across our nation and lives. And we know that people, a lot of folk don't think that the current president actually won the election. They don't think that's true, right? There are people who think the earth is, the world is flat. And I was amazed how many folk actually believe that. I mean, I got into a Facebook thing and I tried to say it wasn't true. They jumped on me like, oh goodness, y'all believe that? I had no idea. Folk believe that stuff, you know. And I try to explain to them, I've stood on the beach in Michigan City, Indiana, and saw the tops of the downtown Chicago skyscrapers. Just the tops of them, not the whole building. The tops, because the earth is curving. And you can't, so if it was flat, I'd see the whole downtown. So when people do not embrace truth, it's a big problem. Yeah. Folks, I won't take that vaccine. I don't know what's in it. Well, here's a list of what's in it. Look at this. I don't know what that means. See? I'm trying to tell you that your truth is informed by your knowledge level. We have to learn to trust people. I don't trust them. Well, trust me, Brian Hudson. I took it. My wife has it. My dad got it. We all came out fine. Hair didn't fall out. Voice didn't go up. Hair didn't grow on my knuckles or anything. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't believe, find somebody to trust. Okay, you need to trust somebody. I trust God. Yeah, but God's not down here. God has no money. He got no vaccines. He doesn't. It's all down here. So you got to trust somebody or trust people who can guide you. If you don't know, find a guide. Find an expert you can trust. Whatever things are true, think on these things. Get your mind off of untrue things. That's key number one now. I got a long way to go, but that's number one. Here at New Covenant Church and among our friends, we have people with long careers and professions and crafts. I mean, who rely on fact and science based on understanding and best practices and empirical evidence. Now listen, the word empirical, It's a important word, because something empirical is something observed. Just observe. It's not somebody's opinion. So if we go outside and look at the sky and it's blue, that's empirical. So if you say the sky is blue, folks say, I don't know about that. I don't know. It's blue, y'all. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, empirical. That's obvious. I mean, so in life, there are many things like this where it's been observed. And so if you hear somebody say something about something, then you don't know what they're talking about because they haven't seen it. They haven't experienced it. They haven't been around people who know it. So I won't get off in the weeds in that, but understand that we have in this church among our friends people trained in all these things, education and medicine, engineering, business, telecommunications, automotive technology, human services, arts, social sciences, political science, various crafts and skills. All these folk are in our church and folk that we know. And we all love God. Amen? And we know that what and we know what God is doing and not doing. We know He's given us grace to do. And so we don't, so whatever is true, say whatever is true. Yeah, whatever is true. And so we have to trust God and have confidence in experts, right? Look at this next scripture here. This is Philippians. Go back there again. I'll just take this one verse and move on. Again, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true. All right, next scripture. And this is a little bit rough here. But Revelation 21:8, at the end of everything, when it's all said and done, this is what God's doing. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I know you can't preach this nowadays, you know. Ain't no hell, ain't no lake of fire. You don't want to test that theory. You know what I'm saying? Just you know, whatever things are true. And so that this business of lying, see, which is the opposite of truth telling, is a major problem today. But for us as believers, he said, set your mind on things above. So the first key for to a new way is that we want to embrace truth and new ways at every level. Say every level. All right, number two. Be faithful in small things. Lead because it leads to greater things. Say, Lord, thank you. I am faithful in small things, and it leads to greater things. All right, Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you've not been faithful to that which belongs to another man, who will give you that which is your own? We read this before. The principle's right there. Be faithful in small things. And small things includes, you know, how we pray and how we give and how we treat people. I mean, they're small in terms of act. It's big in terms of effect. But understand that the new way we've learned through this pandemic is being faithful in small things. Case in point, you know how it was from March on, put the mask on, right? Sometimes you forget, go back, get it, put it on, right? Small things, wash your hands. There are folks who wore masks and washed their hands and still got COVID because they let the guard down at the wrong time, right? Didn't put the mask on and put their hand to the mouth. You know, so the point is, we've learned that small things, a little jab in the arm, you know, a little jab, that's a small thing. These small things put us in position for greater things. In the very least, we're around, we're alive, we're here to do more. Amen. But in other areas of your life, whether it's education, business, you know, it's those small things that we do in our jobs, with students. I mean, it's those small things that we help people appreciate that leads them to a better life. I received an email from a person. We've had, you know, I'm seeing young people from the media camp, you know, years later who are doing really good things in their lives. You know, I'm sure Ophelia sees that with the Freetown Village experience. And I got a letter, an email from a lady who brought her nephew down from Wisconsin several years in a row. Sam, you know Sam. Nikki knows Sam. I say his name for her sake. And so found out, you know, he had difficulty in school and this wasn't doing right. But he came here and we helped him do right. Just for like 4, 5, 6 weeks. It's amazing. If you put a child in the right environment, even for a few weeks, with the right people to help redirect them and focus them and bring out the gifts, They do better. So I found out Sam graduated from an associate's degree in media production. Amen. And is doing media production for a minor league baseball team up there in Wisconsin. His aunt, you know, just wanted to let me know how happy, you know, because she knew it was connected not just to us only, but we were a major factor, right? So this kid from Wisconsin, up way up somewhere in Wisconsin, you know, way up there, came down here in the hood, basically, and among us, you know, and we helped him. It's just wonderful to see that. So we helped him be faithful in little things, right? Little thing. We show youth how to do these. No, this right here. Focus right here. Okay, look right here. You know what I'm saying? Don't look right here, right here, right here. Stay there for a minute, okay? You know what I'm saying? Because kids move everywhere, you know what I'm saying? Teaching all of us, people to look at the small things and pay attention, those are called building blocks. All right, you got the point. Let me go on from that. So one thing we can't do nowadays is get up and say stuff, because people just Google it and research it and check up on you, right? So you know, be careful what you say, because people are going to, you know, check it out. And so it's important that we as ministers and preachers and Christ followers, that we get our information from the right sources. And that we, you know, don't do secondhand and just don't say anything until we got it right. Because we need to respect the principle that being faithful in small things says, what small things should I pay attention to? You can't put your mind everywhere. So where, listen, y'all, wherever you put your mind is the small thing. You follow me? I mean, it can be a very important concern, but where you place your mind, that's the small thing. Put your mind there. Let God give you grace and wisdom in that. Listen to people, and then that leads to greater things. Sometimes we look for more, but more will come if we do the small. Say, more will come if I take care of the small things. Key number three, prepare well for every opportunity and challenge. We're going back down to our narrative in Joshua 3. But prepare well for every opportunity. Say it, prepare well. For every opportunity and challenge. Now, look at Joshua 3 and 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. Say, lodged there before they crossed over. They didn't just charge over the Jordan River. For one, they could not, because it was not, they couldn't walk, it was flooded. They couldn't walk through it anyway. But he had them to come, and they camped out there and lodged there before, and that gave them space and time to prepare. Now, understand, there are some 2 million people in the Exodus, a lot of folk. And so they had to organize that. You just can't just, you know, go everywhere instantly. And so that, but think about this, even in our lives, we know the importance of this. We've learned it one way or another, that before we meet a big challenge or take a big trip, my wife and I went to a long vacation, I had to sit down and look at everything, you know, and just pause right there for a while. And that's the space where we can consider what we're about to get ourselves into, okay? And then we read that the next thing that happened, this is key four, is listen to learn. Say, listen to learn. Listen to learn, which means pay attention to instructions, especially when you don't fully understand. Now, hear me clearly. You don't have to understand every instruction to do it, right? Again, if the instruction is, you know, get the vaccine and roll up your sleeve and take the first one and come back for the second one, what can I come back for? Just give me all of them now. Just listen to the instruction. Now, one vaccine, it was one dose. My point is, listen to learn. And even if you don't understand everything about it, if you trust the source, if you believe and have confidence in who you're listening to, you can go ahead and do it before you fully understand it. This is really true with God. I can't imagine I'd ever have gotten to Africa if I kept asking questions. I mean, I was first invited to go, and I was like, you know, where are we going? Lagos, Nigeria. What's in Lagos? You know, what kind of folk they got up in there? And what are we going to eat? And Brian, just stay behind. We'll get you next time around, maybe. Why don't you just wait right here? You know what I'm saying? Because at some point, people need to know that you got confidence in God and in the people leading you, and too many questions make people distrust you. Because you don't trust them, all these questions indicate you don't really trust, do you? So just, it's okay. Sit down. Wait. Maybe next time, okay? Well, but while they were waiting by the river, read this, look at this now. It says in Joshua 3 and 2, so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of your Lord, your God, and the priests and Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Right? So the instruction was, after 3 days of sitting there and waiting and planning and thinking this thing through, the instruction came to the people, when you see the ark of the covenant, when you see the presence of God moving out, go after it. And the ark represented God's presence, right? And the leaders. He says, verse 4, but yet there should be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, again, about a mile. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Now, when I think about that instruction, what comes to my mind is, in context, with 2 million people, you can't crowd upon the leaders. You got to stand back far enough to know when they're moving, right? So if they were all just in one big mass, you couldn't see the people in front of you where they were going. That's how people get stampeded. They're so packed together and begin panicking and running, they trample each other. Well, so he said, just keep a distance. That was the practical reason. Also, because the river was flooded, it could have been dangerous. And thirdly, because it was the presence of God in the ark. So to get your sinful self too close to it, you know, the presence of God may break out on you. But for us, let me offer us this idea and this suggestion that I like to think about it this way. You know, when we are working through and navigating through something challenging and something difficult, and we're listening well and learning and taking everything in, we have to just, you know, keep a distance between what we're working on and what we decide to do next. You follow me? We don't just rush in. We need to really be considerate of the options. And my wife and I were driving on this long trip. You know, you come to places where you have to really, because the roads are in the construction, you think twice about, you know, the next turn. And so in our lives, that gap in distance gives us time to think, to pray, go gather resources, go ask some questions, get some understanding. There's no need to rush into something that pertains to God's purpose for your life. You know how it is. I mean, I got another car out there, and boy, I really hate buying cars, man. Oh, man, it's such a hassle, boy. Oh, these folk want to play you and stuff. I'm like, man, listen, I want that one there, what it costs, and all this kind of stuff, and I want to test drive it, and I don't want you in the car when I'm driving it. You know, just give me the key, I'll bring it back, you know. And here's my keys, and there's my car over there, and just let me drive it without you talking to me, you know. Because what you want is some space, see? And salespersons don't want to give you space. Because good salesmanship is talk, 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 talk. You know what I'm saying? So you can't hear the rattle. You can't hear the rattle, you know, in the car. You don't pay attention to everything because they're talking to you, right? So think about all the times you've had to have space. You're going to buy something, maybe, you know, a house or something important, and they want to press you. What do you want to do? I'll think about it and come back tomorrow. No, you got to tell me now, because this sale goes off. Well, let it go off then. I bet you it'll come back around again, okay? I bet you. My point is, hear me. Space, say space. Space between you and it, whatever it is. Stand in the water. Say, stand in the water. Stand in the water. Joshua 3, verse 8, I'll read this to you. It says, you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. He didn't say go across because it was still flooded. He said, I want the leaders, the priests, y'all go stand in the edge of the water. And that speaks to me about commitment and obedience. Say commitment and obedience. Think about, like, for example, we asked you a couple months ago to make pledges to help with the building fund, right? You filled the card out, put amounts down. You were standing in the water. Until you go stand in the edge of it, there's no commitment. There's no going forward until we commit to stand in the edge of the water. Make a commitment. Sometimes you've got options with respect to employment opportunities. You got a couple good prospects there. Well, you can't make them wait forever. You got to stand in the water. Or if you're going to buy a house or buy a car, you got to put down some called earnest money, right? So these are ways in which we understand. But when it comes to God's purpose and his call in your life, you got to put your feet in the water. Get to the place where you're indicating obedience and commitment to act. Amen. And then key number 6, when you change, your circumstances will change. Say, when I change, my circumstances change. Well, how does that work? Well, look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 13. And it came to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters that come down from upstream, that they shall stand as a heap. Now watch this. So the first thing was get to the edge of the water and stand in it. But then when it came time to march and go forward. Now watch this. This took courage. It wasn't like when they stepped in the water immediately just went away. It wasn't like the Red Sea where it divided in front of them. The Bible says this water stacked up a long way off. They couldn't see it stacked up. They couldn't see where the water had stacked up and stopped flowing. All they knew was, we're trusting God. We're not going to drown now. Yeah, we're going to begin walking in this water. It's going to be over our feet. It's going to be up to our shins, maybe to our knees. But at some point, it began receding. You follow me? It's a different situation than Red Sea, where it just, you know, went apart and dry land appeared. I like this because it reminds me that when I change, when I move out, when I act on my faith, act on my knowledge and wisdom, when I change, my circumstances change. Last year sometime, I think I told you last year, I paid off my personal debts and things. It's small stuff, but, well, somewhat, well, it wasn't so small, but anyway. I didn't know it because what I was doing was putting hundreds of dollars a month toward it. Wasn't paying, you know, if you pay the minimum, you're going to pay for the rest of your life till you die, and your kids are going to pay for you, okay? Never pay the minimum. What did I just say? Never pay the minimum. You're crazy. You're crazy if you're paying the minimum on anything. You're not crazy. I won't offend you, but you're not wise, okay? I was crazy. The point is, it all paid off. And I realized that when I changed, when I began putting serious commitment to retiring these debts and things, and one day it was all gone. They owed me money. I paid too much. They had to send something back to me. You know, I just pay these big amounts, automatic payments. So the thing is, when you change, your circumstances change. How we think, how we speak, how we live. Nicole Kelly, bless her heart, I keep bragging on Nikki, so proud of her. You know, she ran for school board and couldn't walk, right? You know about that one. Lost the weight, you know what I'm saying? When she changed, her circumstances changed. See? When we change, our circumstances change. Now, I'm still working on some changes, you know what I'm saying? But the point is, we know this, right? That it's a key to the new way. It's a key to the new way is change. Change. Nothing changes like change. It's good to think about it. People call me, said, I got a book I want to publish. Oh, how many words is it? Oh, it's in my spirit. The book's in your spirit. Call me back 2 years from now. You know what I'm saying? Don't call me. Tell me a book is in your spirit. A book in your spirit can't be published. You got to write every day. I'm the publisher. You tell your friends I'm writing a book. Tell the publisher I got a manuscript. But when you change, the circumstances change, all right? So now key number 7 is you don't have to see or understand everything that helps you. Say, I don't have to see or understand everything that helps me. And this is the text, again, from Joshua chapter 3, where he indicated that he would cause the waters to back up in a heap. One version, Hebrew says congealed. Actually, the word indicates a gelatin-type substance. I mean, it's kind of weird. But the waters weren't frozen like ice, but they were congealed. The point is, way out of sight of the people, and the water stopped flowing because it was congealed in place out of their sight. And that speaks to me of the fact that the people didn't even know. Now, we know from the Bible scripture, but the people in that day, in the moment, they did not see or understand what was helping them. All they knew is, we're walking across this river, and the water's getting lower and lower and lower and lower, and now the ground is dry. I mean, by time, it takes hours and hours for 2 million people to pass by. So the priests' feet got wet, but by the time half the crowd came through, it was dry. So God does things, and things happen in circumstances that we don't see or understand. Again, the vaccine. I don't understand it, but I received it. And it helped me. Amen. I know a little bit about how cars work, but I don't see the internal combustion happening. There are explosions happening in my car, in your car. Explosions are going on. You don't know about that. All you know is it's running. It's taking me. I'm going forward. So understand that and appreciate this fact, please, that you don't have to see or understand everything. That helps you. That'll free you up. Sometimes we're inquiring. Hey, I'm an inquiring mind. I am. But I've learned to settle my inquiring mind down. You know, I've learned to kind of just tone that down a little bit and stop inquiring all the time because I'm just messing myself up, confusing myself. And God gives me what I need when I need it. You know, there's sometimes you have conversations with people and things dealing with. Maybe you're in leadership. You can't tell people everything. You know, it's called a need-to-know basis. You know, God's big on that. He's really huge on need-to-know. He's just trust me, man. Just trust me. Because, you know, see, what God knows, we've learned sometime too, if God told you, it would scare you and you wouldn't do anything. If God told me what being a pastor would really involve, I'm going to preach and pray for people and heal the sick and all that. I didn't know it'd be all the rest of the stuff going on. If he told me all that, no, I ain't doing that. I ain't crazy. I don't have to see or understand everything that helps me. All right, final points, Some questions. Application. Watch this. What is your new normal? Just think about it. Write it down if you want. Check it tomorrow. Go back over tomorrow. Number two, in what small things are you faithful? What are you faithful in as a small thing? Number three, what preparation do you need? Right? In what ways do you need to listen to learn? In what ways? Because if you don't listen, you can't learn. So how do you need to listen and not talk and not interrupt and not assume? And finally, what commitments have you avoided? Again, stand in the water. What commitments have you avoided? It's time to no longer avoid. Stand in the water. Amen, somebody? Let's all stand. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for reminding us, encouraging us in these scriptures and these truths that, Lord, we are people of purpose. Lord God, we're in a new way, a new day, and every day really is new, obviously. Lord, thank you that we have transitioned and moving from pandemic to promise. We haven't passed this way before, but you're with us in every way we go. So this new day, and this new way, Lord, is a good thing. We're excited about the opportunity. At any age, any stage of life, we appreciate a new day and a new way. Lord, thank you for those who are here, encouraging those who are watching, those who will listen on demand. Let us be inspired and challenged, Lord God, to move into the new way and do the new things that you've given us to do, Lord. Thank you for wisdom that continues through this season. We will not be careless. We shall not let our guard down. We shall be faithful and full of faith and bold, Lord God, as we take steps forward, because as we change, our circumstances change. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God some praise if you're blessed today. Lord, thank you.